Bible study for the brave, for the spiritual-minded Bible student, and that is that we call Bible things by Bible names. And we do Bible things in Bible ways, and it means that we make absolutely no apology for the thing that God said or the manner in which he said it. So we certainly want to welcome you to the program, and I hope and pray that you are poised and prepared, ready to study, to meditate, that's right, to reflect upon the precious book divine. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've been focusing our attention upon a couple of words that are utilized in our Bibles, beware and take heed, and this is actually part 9. There are 8 statements that we have looked at thus far up until this particular point, but here in lesson number 9, we are going to focus our attention on the statement that is made in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15, where Jesus says that we ought to beware of covetousness. Take heed and beware of covetousness. We do want to look at the context. Jesus clearly explains what he is talking about in that context, and so we want to welcome all of our listeners to a study of Luke chapter 12 and the context revolving around verse number 15. And the context of our study is that we ought to beware and take heed of covetousness. Now, before we get there, as our students are coming into our Facebook live feed, I do want to welcome everyone to the program. And whether you are joining us on the TGRN radio side, we're certainly glad that you could join us on that venue. And hopefully, if you have time, you can join us in the TGRN discussion window. And doesn't require much. Just click on that big Listen Live button. There's a login, and you can come on in and listen to us that way. If you're joining us through Facebook, we're glad that you are here. I see that Sister Ferris and Sister Sainer and Sister Woodall has joined us, as well as Miss Mona, and she always keeps me online, makes sure that both the TGRN and the Facebook Live side are up and running. I also want to welcome all of our listeners who are listening to us through WJHF 106.9 FM in the Florence, Alabama area, and certainly want to encourage you to go by and see our family and friends at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Just give them a call and find out their times of their COVID or pandemic times of services, and I know that they would consider you an honored guest for joining them in their Bible study and worship. I see that Sister Jensen has joined us. Good to have you with us. Good to have all of our fellow Bible students with us, whether you have commented in the window. And that's really the only way that I know that people are listening is through the comments that are made in the window. And so that's why we always like to encourage you that if you join us, to go ahead and make note of that. Tell us hi in the window. Sister Holly Roberts joins us, and she says, please include my sister Melissa in the prayer today in ER with some concerns. Absolutely. We want to continue to remember all of them that we're praying for, and we will add Miss Melissa to our prayers as well. Good to have Brother McDaniels from Pikeville, Tennessee, joining us as well. Always good to have all of our Bible students. We like to have new Bible students join us, but we love when we can get together. I mean, some of y'all have been with me for quite a long time, and so we're so grateful that you could be with us. By the way, I see Brother Hoekstra has joined us, and I was waiting on just this moment right now to deliver a public a thank you to the Hoekstra family. Every now and then you will notice that I have to bend over and pull up the chair, and Brother Hoekstra sent me a kit that goes up underneath this chair. And Brother Hoekstra, you will be pleased to know that since the time that I installed it Friday afternoon, I have not had a single problem with this chair. And so I want to thank you and your family for that. And the others are probably thankful as well, because that way I'm not dipping down every 5, 10, 15 minutes. And so I want to thank you for that. Well, let's see here. The phone number today is 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. And we don't stress that because we have the chat windows, but if you're listening to us on 106.9 there in the Florence, Alabama area, then if you want to give us a call, or anyone else, you can be in the chat room and call us at the same time if you have a particular question or comment about our discussion for today. Let's see here. I do want to deliver an invitation to anyone who's ever in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area. That's the northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee. We would love to have you if you're in this area. Come by and join us again, 685 Nesbitt Road, Nesbitt Church of Christ. We meet every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible class, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Let's see here. Oh, I don't want to forget, the Standing in the Gap Lectures is just around the corner, January the 27th through the 31st, 2021. Can you imagine? 2021 already here, and or just about here, and just around the corner. But January the 27th through the 31st, the Standing in the Gap Lectures, and I'll give you more details as they come in. And so hopefully we are able to encourage you to come by and join us. We do produce a booklet, and we will put these up on our video feed later. I don't know that we will have a live session, but we will certainly put them up later for viewing. And let's see here. Can't think of anything else on our agenda. And so we do want to mention Sister Melissa, or Sister Robert's sister, Melissa, who is in the ER, in our prayers. Also, I want to mention to you, we've been praying for Brother John Schaefer and the loss of his wife. He is a faithful old-time gospel preacher, and in Nebraska, in Kearney, Nebraska, and has done a lot of work in India and other places, and so we've always appreciated him, and our care and concern is for him as well. Also, I received news, I think it was Friday afternoon when I received the news, or Saturday, I cannot remember, but we had been praying for the family of Obed Rodriguez. Obed passed away maybe a week and a half ago max, and he was an instructor at the Brown Trail School of Preaching. Well, his wife, Sister Rodriguez, also passed away with complications due to COVID-19, and they leave one daughter of 21 years of age, and so we certainly want to keep her and the Brown Trail Fellowship in our prayers as well. Sister Woodall, certainly want to keep your family in our prayers as well. The growth, especially of those little ones that you've been showing online, are wonderful. In fact, we have several families that we are close with that have recently had children, not only our son and his daughter, but other individuals that we feel that are that close that have had children, and so we certainly want to keep them in our prayers as well. And so let's do that at this present time. We'll go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, and we will enjoy the blessings of song. Well, let's see here. Sister Ferris says, please pray for the Yancey family. They have been hit hard with death of their beloved husband and father, Joe. Absolutely. We do want to remember the Yancey family as well. And so let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thy throne of mercy and grace at this time, and we thank Thee for who Thou art. We realize that Thou art a majestic and holy God, that we do not deserve to be within Thy presence except because of the blood of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and our obedience to the gospel gives us boldness to be within Thy presence. And we offer our supplications and intercessions today, our Heavenly Father, with that of great gratitude for all that Thou art and all that Thou hast done for us. We do realize, our Heavenly Father, that we are truly a blessed people beyond measure. We thank Thee for the blessings that You have given to us. We realize that at times, our Heavenly Father, that we lose sight of the source of our blessings. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that the United States especially, but the world included in that, might be brought back to its senses, that they might be brought back to a clear and solid, sound mind of thinking and a recognition of Thee as the great God, Creator, and Judge of all things. We're appreciative, our Heavenly Father, that You would be with us during this particular time of Bible study. We ask that You would be with us in the presentation and reception of Thy Word, that all things might be done in accordance with Thy precious Word. Father, there are many individuals on our hearts and minds at this time. The Rodriguez family, the Obed Rodriguez family especially, as both Brother Obed and his wife have suffered from death, and their daughter, I believe, Sister Linda, and we ask that all mercy might be granted unto her, that the brethren who are surrounding her at this time might do so to give her aid and comfort in her time of loss. We ask our Heavenly Father that You be with Sister Holly Roberts' sister, Melissa, as she is in the ER at this time. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that the doctors and nurses and caregivers might be able to come to an understanding of what ails her and might be able to deal with that in such a way as to relieve her of any pain or suffering that she might have in regards to that. We ask that You would give her and her family strength during this particular time. We pray for Sister Woodall and her family, especially those young twins and that big brother, and we pray, our Heavenly Father, that You would help all of those who have recently undergone births, especially brothers and sisters in Christ, that they have brought children into this world, that they might bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that You look down upon us in Thy tender mercy, that You forgive us of our sins. We know that there are many things, our Heavenly Father, that we desperately need to pray for. We pray for the Yancey family in the fact that they have lost their father and husband, and we pray, our Heavenly Father, that You would continue to strengthen all of those who have lost loved ones. We realize that death is a part of life, but it's a hard part indeed when we have to depart from our dear and beloved ones. But those who have obeyed the gospel and those who are in a right relationship with Thee, our Heavenly Father, we know that the angels have carried them into a better place. For those who have not, we pray that that might be a reminder of all of those that are still living, that they need to take care of their responsibilities and get right with God. We pray, our Heavenly Father, You bless us as we study on this day. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Who's that walking down the road, carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down, you're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there, ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear, you're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and worn, they're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Ah, my friends, again, what a beautiful, beautiful song that we have been blessed with. We pray that it has strengthened your heart, as I know that it does mine each time. Well, our text for our Bible study today is Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15. Good to have Sister Higgins with us. So we have several of our regular Bible students that have joined us, and we want to open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15. Now, there's a context that is prior to this verse, and an immediate context after this verse that we want to consider. But I do want us to at least first focus on the statement itself. And there is this is going to be one of the lessons, by the way, in the Standing in the Gap lectures in regards to how to handle context. And it's not necessarily revolved around just this verse, I'm saying, but the principle is that people keep talking about how important context is, and they are correct, that context is important. But there are principles that supersede context. And I think sometimes when we emphasize that context is king, we forget that principles supersede even context in which they are found. And this certainly, it is true that we ought to take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And that is true regardless of whether or not it's just two brothers fighting over an inheritance. You see, that's the context. The context is that two brothers are fighting over an inheritance, and one brother has come to Jesus and said that he wanted Jesus to give command to his brother to divide the inheritance the way that he wanted. And Jesus then makes this statement in this context. And so it fits the context, that is true. If two brothers are having a dispute with regards to an inheritance, then this would be the text that I would go to. But this is a greater principle than just inheritance. a squabble between two brothers over inheritance. This is a true statement in any context that covetousness is contrary to the will of God. And so notice with me beginning in verse number 13 and 14, and this is the preceding context. He says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak unto my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And it's interesting to me that he immediately goes to the heart of the matter. Jesus is always a heart issue man. He doesn't deal with all of the situations that might be around that. He just drives the stake right through the heart. So he says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of or in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Now it says, "He spake a parable unto them, saying." Now I want to pause here and just mention that the parable is in relationship to covetousness. It is in relationship to the disturbance of the two brothers in regards to their inheritance. And so this is the parable that he spake in response to the two brothers and in response to the principle to beware and take heed of covetousness. In other words, Jesus is now going to show us in a parable what covetousness looks like. So he says, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." Now, by the way, wouldn't that be a nice thing? Is that not a blessed thing that this man was so blessed in his life that his harvest was so great that he had absolutely no way to store the excess of the harvest? I mean, we would all pray that farmers would be so blessed as this. But now notice, it goes on, he says, here's what he says. He said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow my fruit and my goods." Now, again, this is a wonderfully blessed man. There's absolutely nothing wrong with him storing up for later. By the way, Joseph did that with relationship to Egypt in preparation of a seven-year famine, right? So there's nothing wrong with what he is doing here. And he is just preparing for the future. Having prepared funds or a harvest, fruit for the future is not a bad thing. Verse number 19, "And I will say to my soul, So thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Now, by the way, is there anything wrong with taking from the sustenance of your hard labor? In fact, Solomon would say in the book of Ecclesiastes that a man has a right to take from the benefits of his good life. There's nothing wrong with someone retiring early because they have been blessed in their life with great abundance. There is nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think sometimes we look at success in a rather difficult way today. Look at all the patriarchs of old time. Was there any one of them that was not blessed by God with an abundance of things? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We have developed in our society, and I realize that when you get rich off of the backs of others without any appreciation for that, there might be something said about that you might want to rethink that. But this class warfare that goes on so often is, well, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and we're always complaining and whining and moaning about the things that we don't have. And to do so in such a well-blessed society as ours, try living in certain parts of India or Africa or many parts of the world outside of America, and maybe we'll learn to appreciate and value the things that we already have. Jesus could have said, well, how dare your brother go to such lengths to keep you away from your inheritance? What's wrong with that brother of yours? But he didn't do that. He warned the man who was asking for his inheritance. He warned him about covetousness. Now, this man is building up his barns. He's doing all. There's nothing wrong with anything that is going on at this time. He is communing with himself in relationship to this. But now I want you to notice it says, but God said unto him, thou fool. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be which thou hast provided? Now here is, that's the parable in a nutshell. Now we have a context prior to with the two brothers. We have the principle stated that we ought to beware and take heed of covetousness. Now why? Because a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So Jesus told this parable of the rich man. But now notice the application of the parable of the rich man. See, sometimes I think we draw conclusions out of this that are inappropriate for us to draw. Now, some would say, and in fact, I want to read to you how some would look at this parable. They would say that this man, here's one writer, he said this man committed five grievous blunders. He hoarded his goods instead of using them. Well, I don't know that the Bible here says he hoarded his goods. It says thought he owned time. Well, I don't know that that was the thinking process of this man. When you prepare for the future, do you think that you own time? Certainly not. If I put back in store for another time frame, am I saying that I own time? Certainly not. He says, thought his soul could feast on the things put in his barn. All right, well now we might be getting to at least a little bit of what is going on. But again, I would say that's not what this parable is about. It goes on to say, he said he commanded his soul as if he had complete authority over it. Well, the fact that he did these things without being rich toward God could suggest that. But I don't find anything in the context with regards to that. Forgetting that God had command over it. I don't know that putting up in your barn suggests that, or he left God out of the plans. Now we get to the heart of the matter, right? That's what this is about. Jesus said, verse number 21, so that he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It's not just laying up treasure for yourself. It's the fact that he laid up treasure for himself without being rich toward God. Here was a man, by the way, who is seen in the parable as a man who is overcome with self. And that's the covetousness aspect of this. So notice with me some key words that might give us some good understanding of this text. So the rich man, it says, and Jesus is very powerful and pointed in the way that he presents this parable. So notice, and he, pay attention to the pronouns, the personal pronouns in this text. He thought within himself, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods. Thou, by the way, that would be another one, right? Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now that's over 20, maybe 20 to 23 personal statements about himself. But it's not just about himself, the fact that he gave no credence to any relationship that he had with God or his fellow man is the key. He was rich toward himself, but not toward God. Now that is the heart of the parable. The trusting in riches and not in God is certainly the key element that is here. But there are a couple of things that I want us to note in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is such a rich passage of Scripture. I wish we had time just to discuss the entire chapter, but we don't. You remember that in verse number three, he says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily, that the Lord God of thy fathers have promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey." God brought them into a land where they could have their barns filled. In fact, after he goes through the entire process of the training of the next generation, the training of children, he says in let's begin in verse number 10. He says, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not." Now I want you to pay attention to the goodness of God here. He brought them into a land, and there's going to be goodly cities, and they didn't build them. There are houses that are full of all good things, which thou fillest not. Wells digged, which thou diggest not. Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. And when thou shalt have eaten and be full. In other words, you have all of these things, and you didn't build them, you didn't bring them about. But now notice, then, beware lest thou forget the Lord. Is that not the problem in Luke chapter 12? In Luke chapter 12, the parable of this rich farmer is the fact that he, was rich. It was not the fact that he had a great harvest. It's the fact that when he had all of these things, by the way, there is a scene. Anybody remember the movie Shenandoah? The movie Shenandoah intrigues me because Jimmy Stewart is a father of many. His wife has died. They go to church, but he really is not a religious man. In fact, he seems early in the movie, he seems rather antagonistic toward the Lord. And they're all sitting around the table and he prays. And I can't remember the exact statement, but he says, "Lord, we give you thanks for the fact," now he says, "for all of this land. We cleared it, we plowed it up, we planted everything. We worked the harvest, we dug all of these things, we did all of this, we did this, but we give you thanks." And it's almost in spite that he says, "We did all the work, but we're going to thank you." It's not really gratitude that is expressed in the movie. Now, if you've seen the movie, and I would suggest you watch the movie. It is a powerful movie on many different levels. But the principle of the movie is what we are talking about right here. That we need to beware. Just because we have an abundance of things does not mean that it cannot be taken away. And so we need to realize from whence all our blessings come and who is really in charge of the blessings. You know, in fact, if you'll hold your finger there in Deuteronomy, early on in Israel's history, I want to take us to the book of Malachi now, and I want you to notice in Malachi that there were individuals there, you remember, that had forgotten that God was the source of their blessings. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 7 beginning, verse number 8 beginning, he says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." How in tithes and wherein have we robbed thee, they say, in tithes and in offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. The whole nation is involved in this robbery. In other words, it goes from the top down. He goes on to say, he says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." This man, in Luke chapter 12, was a recipient of the windows of heaven being poured out upon him, and yet he robbed God of his greatest good, which is praise and adoration and gratitude for the blessings that were bestowed upon him. So now we go back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 12. It says, "Then beware," when you have all of this abundance, an abundant society ought always be on guard. "Beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and thou shalt swear by his name." Now notice here, we need to not forget, we need to remember the Lord, we need to fear the Lord, we need to serve the Lord, and certainly we ought to swear by his name. "You shall not go out after other gods round about." Notice, he's saying that God is a jealous God. And so one of the things that I wanted us to really pay attention to at this particular time is the fact that because we live, I think if ever there was a text that should be preached often, it should be this text or this subject matter of covetousness. We need to beware and take heed that we are not covetous in our... Covetousness is something that will cause strife. It'll cause strife in a family. It'll cause strife in a community. It will cause strife wherever it is. I do believe that covetousness is one of the primary reasons why we have such strife in our nation today. And so the warnings of the Old Testament and New Testament, the warnings of the Bible, are great warnings for us today. People tell me often that the reason why they're not church attenders or Bible believers is they believe the Bible is just outdated. Really? A person who says that has never read their Bible. The Bible is not outdated. The Bible is the most updated book that there will ever be. There will never be a time when a man can outgrow what is in the Bible. And we see it every day with the sinfulness of the world, with the wickedness of the world, with the darkness that is over the world. We see it every day. How important it is to pay attention to our Bibles. If you'll go back to Luke with me in Luke chapter 12 and verses 13 and 14, that pre-context that we talked about earlier, I want you to notice here that it was covetousness. Remember, Jesus goes right to the heart. It was covetousness that was dividing a family. This younger brother, the older brother would have had the responsibility toward this, but notice that the younger brother or the brother said, divide the inheritance with me. Divide it with me. There was division that was being sought after in regards to this. And so Jesus tells him to beware. There is a great deal of division in some quarters of the body of Christ because somebody is covetous of something else. Now, it's not just riches that you can be covetous of. You can covet another man's wife. In the Ten Commandments, we realize that that is certainly one thing. You can covet another man's gold. You can covet another, by the way, you can covet another man's position. Reminds me, Brother Joshua says, reminds me of Esau. Absolutely. We can certainly as Esau sold his birthright. You remember, and I'm going to go to the book of Hebrews on this because the book of Hebrews, I don't know, Josh, if that's what you had in mind here, but in Hebrews chapter 12, it speaks of the fact that verse number 15, this is Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Notice how Esau is described, a fornicator and a profane person, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. Now notice this, though he sought it with tears. He had sold it. It didn't belong to him anymore, and yet he wanted it back. And it does remind us a great deal of Esau. And Esau is described as a wicked man at this particular time. And so keep in mind that covetousness is greed and selfishness. That's what a covetousness is all about. But let me just, I know that we're going to run out of time if we're not too awful close here, but let me just ask you this particular question in regards to some things. What are some reasons why people are covetous in nature? In other words, why should we beware of covetousness? That's what Jesus said. You take heed and beware. But why? Why would we do that? What is the problem with covetousness? Well, number one, we ought to pay attention to what our beloved brother Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, right, and verse number 12. Now, I don't want to actually, we're going to back up just a few verses there to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10. I don't want to make the same mistake a lot of other people make. Some people make the mistake of saying then that the love of money is the root of all evil, as if to suggest that, number one, it's the only root, and it is not. And some people suggest, well, if you possess money, well, it's more than just the possession of money. You remember, it is the love of money. When my love for money exceeds my love for God. Let me just show you how this works in relationship to a couple of other things. In John chapter 12 and verse 42 and 43, I want you to notice here, he says, "Nevertheless, the chief rulers also many of believed, but because of the Pharisees did not confess, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." Now, notice here their motivation. "For they love the praises of men more than the praises of God." Now, it's not the fact that they love the praises of men, but it's the priority we put. We all appreciate it when other men recognize our gifts or something such as that. There's nothing wrong with the praise of men. But if my love for the praise of men is stronger than the praise that I have for God, then there is something seriously wrong. Notice here, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we begin in verse number 2. He says, and these are during the time of perilous times, he says, "For men shall be lovers of their own self." Well, all men love themselves. That's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5. And if a man needs to love his wife as himself. And so there's nothing wrong. That's not the point here. Notice he goes on. "They're lovers of their own selves and covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Notice all of the things that we've been talking about wrapped up right here. "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitor, heady minder." Now notice this, "lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." When the Bible talks about the lovers of money, it's talking about those who put the priority of money above God. And so that becomes very, very important as well. Brother Brown mentions same with loving mother or father more than me. It's a matter of priority in regards to that. And Joshua turns our attention with regards to Isaac's blessings in Genesis chapter 27. And Josh, you might make note on there a couple of those items that you're talking about. And that way we can help other Bible students in regards to that pay attention to that. But that's exactly what we're talking about, the priority, right? Priority becomes absolutely essential in regards to that. So why should we take heed and beware? Because when we have too much, we can forget God, right? That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 12. We can love money more than we can love God. Now think about Gideon and the story of Gideon here in regards to having too much. If Gideon had 32,000 men to serve in his army, now that wasn't really a whole lot against all the hordes that were up. He was up against, but God said, "Gideon, you got too many. And if you win the battle with that many people, you will trust in yourself. So you can trust in things that are untrustworthy." It's not the fact that you shouldn't have some trust in them. I have some trust in our military. I have some trust in my bank account. I have some trust in my wife. I have some trust in all the things that we've just talked about. But guess what? The priority of all things, God must come first. He was the rich man in Luke chapter 12 was trusting in his riches and was not abundant toward God. And so it becomes very important then that we understand. By the way, covetousness can cause us to be ostracized by our brethren. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10 and notice the conflict that was going on. Now remember, these are carnal-minded people, and Paul knew they were carnal-minded, for he says, "You are yet envying, you have strife and divisions." Chapter 3 and verse number 3, he says, "Are you not carnal?" Now, notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. He says, "Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world or with covetous." What is he talking about? He's talking about the divide of disfellowship. And he said, I'm not talking about the people of the world here, but if there be a brother that is a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer, a drunkard, extortioner, with such a one, no, not even to eat with. We find in chapter 6, because of their covetousness, they were taking their brethren to court. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 10, he says, he says, verse number 9, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves, nor thieves, nor covetous." So you see the list that they're associated with? If you're a covetous person, those are the people that God thinks about you in regards to that. By the way, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5 does call covetousness idolatry, or idolatry as covetousness. And so this is something to beware of, right? It is something that we need to make sure of. 1 Timothy 3:3 says, "An elder, a man cannot serve in the great capacity and role of an elder if he is a covetous man." And so these are some reasons why we ought to avoid them. We ought to put that mentality to death, right? Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5, he says, "Mortify." That means put it to death. That means kill it. That means, I know that we're not supposed to use that kind of terminology today, but the Bible says there are certain things in our life that should be killed. And in fact, if you take all of these things that he's talking about from verse number 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience." He goes on in verse number 8 to talk about anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another and so forth. And he goes on with this. Listen, all of these things, there should be a genocide in the mind of the child of God concerning all evil. Put it away from you. Kill it. Mortify it. Kill it all. And kill every bit of it, right? That's the way that you get rid of it. You kill it. And by the way, when you get rid of something out of your mind, there's a principle of displacement that we have talked about before from Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. When you get rid of all this wickedness, you got to put something in its place. If you don't, the wickedness will come back. And so notice here, in Colossians chapter 3, getting rid of all that. So verse number 10, and have put on the new man, he says, which is rewarded in knowledge after the image of him who created him. Verse number 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Listen, you don't want to go out in the world naked. And if you put away all of the wickedness of the world, and you just roam around, you're just roaming around naked. And so he says, put something on. Put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against another, even as Christ also forgave you, so do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of peace. There are other things mentioned in the context, but my friends, we are simply out of time. Our study has hopefully been beneficial and will strengthen you and has helped you in regards to building a better life for yourself and for your children and your children's children. Excuse me. God bless and have a wonderful day.